Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hey there! Do you like films? Do you like wrestling from the 2000s? Do you want to see a film about wrestling from the 2000s? Well, WrestleTalk are hosting a special screening of Ready to Rumble for its 19th anniversary at the Prince Charles Cinema in Leicester Square on May 7th, 2019.
Wrestling's fake.
Wrestling's not fake!
Myself, Ollie Davis, Luke Owen, Laurie Blake, Andy Datsun, Pete Quinnell, and maybe a few other surprises will be in attendance for a meet and greet before the film.
And then stick around after the screening for a special Wrestle Ramble podcast recording where we'll talk in depth about David Arquette winning the WCW Championship to promote the film and what it did for the wrestling industry.
Would that be raw sewage I'm smelling?
They kinda always liked that smell.
If you've not seen Ready to Rumble before, come see the sports entertainment epic The Detroit News Said manages to insult not only pro wrestlers, but also their fans.
Brittany, let's go out again. We'll talk about me and you.
Dude, you're in there.
The Matt-based masterpiece the New York Post called a toilet humor farce proud of its own crudeness.
Your sister shot her first perp today.
That's nice, Gabby.
And if that doesn't tempt you, the Orlando Sentinel said of this barn burner brilliance, yes, film fans, there is a new worst movie of all time.
Any match, any time.
The Steel Cage.
Steel Cage wins.
So come see...
Shut up, Randy!
You're not part of this!
So come see Ready to Rumble at the Prince Charles Cinema on May 7th with your friends at WrestleTalk. Tickets are available now.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by Pete Quinnell.
Hello.
Hey, Pete.
Hi.
How's it going?
Pretty good. You?
Very, very well, thank you.
Good.
It's the first time we've actually been... We haven't done a podcast together for a while.
No, not for a good few weeks.
But it's certainly the first one that we've been recording since you became a full-time member of the... SmackDown roster for a second. SmackDown roster of the WrestleTalk roster.
Yay! Yeah, that was... That was a moment, wasn't it?
It was.
Cool.
My wife said she nearly cried on the tube.
When she heard. Bless her. So did I. I nearly cried too.
It was such a great moment.
Yeah.
Because Ollie didn't tell me that he was going to call you.
I know, yeah.
It was really cool,
It was something else, because I was just sitting on the sofa at my friend's place, and Michelle and I were having a chat. And I said, just so you know, Ollie's going to call me in a little bit, because he said he wants to talk about some stream stuff or something, I don't know. And she was like, okay, sure, yeah, no worries. Then as he called, we were just sitting there and she could hear him down the phone. She's like, just wonder if you want to start full time. I got up and ran to the kitchen because I didn't know what else to do. I just got up and just, I had so much energy. I was like, I just need to go somewhere. So I just ran to the kitchen and Michelle screamed, which you heard on the stream.
Yep.
Yeah, it was something else.
It was great.
It was awesome.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
It's very nice to have you on board. You're going to be here full time as of Monday. Is that the plan?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But.
Soon, sometime.
Whenever I can move, basically.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you've got some travel arrangements
I
that
do,
need to be sorted
yeah.
out. I don't want you getting Megabus every day.
Not about that life.
I wanted to see if we get you to weigh in on a conversation that we had a little while back on, okay. on this podcast, because we've had an email in about it as well,
okay.
About urinal gates.
Okay.
If you're new to this podcast, Ollie thought it was weird that we have two urinals in our office bathroom, and I used one of them while he was using it, and he thought that was weird. And
not the same one.
No, and I used the other one.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, there's no other ones for me to use. I have to use this one. But he thought it was weird. Where do you stand on the situation?
I stand that if there are other options, don't stand next to a person. But if there's only two and one's being used, use the other one, because there's nowhere else to go.
Well, this one comes in from Andrew Holmes that says, hello, Luke, fake door chopper, but not Andy ever. Andy, the amount of me not saying hello to Andy is even beyond my comprehension. I'm the one writing this. As a few months ago, you started talking about bathroom gates, and I recently encountered this. What does one do when they encounter this? And I want you to explain what's in this image here.
Oh, my God. I don't know about that.
So it is a two urinal setup. However, the two urinals are together.
Yeah.
So it's not like a trough, not like a urinal trough.
No.
It's like in a triangle formation.
Yeah.
So you would be
standing on two sides of it.
Yeah. So you'd be standing. Yeah. If you imagine a triangle, you're standing on not the bottom bit. You'd be standing on the two side bits.
The two sides of the triangle.
So facing each other.
Yeah. The bottom side of the triangle is the wall.
Yes.
And then the two sides coming out of it are the urinal sides.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. So,
no.
What would you do in that scenario?
If that was your only option? I'd come back another time. Like, no, I'm not having that.
Although I've seen these before because actually, what's even worse? Just looking at this photo there, the flush is only on the left-hand side.
Oh, no. You'd have to reach across to flush on the other side. No. That's gross.
Reading Town Centre, late at night, they have these toilets that rise out of the ground. I'm not even kidding. Like, during the daytime, they're not there. Then at night, they're there.
That's
and they're just
weird.
In the ground.
Okay.
And at a certain hour, they will essentially just be risen up so people won't piss in the streets, essentially.
I mean, it's a nice idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Reading's a very classy place.
Of course, yeah.
What are your plans for the bank holiday weekend?
I am going to relax because I am leaving my other job because now obviously I'm going to be starting full time here soon. So Sunday will be the first day off that I've had in ages.
Nice.
Because obviously I was doing here part time and my other job part time. And the only other time I had was traveling between Newcastle and London.
Mm-hmm.
So Sunday we're going to be going round to my future in-laws place and they're making us a big Sunday dinner.
Nice.
I cannot wait for because my future mother-in-law is a fantastic cook and she does amazing food, so can't wait for that. And then we're gonna have a relaxation day of just, I think we're gonna push our two sofas together and get every blanket we own and just shove them all on there, grab snacks, watch some films and just chill out, and it's gonna be great.
Excellent. MCU marathon time.
Oh yes.
We had this email come in from Abraham. I'm gonna guess, I do apologize if I said that wrong. It says, hey guys, I just wanted to, this is on the Lars Sullivan discussion, because we've been saying Lars Sullivan's a big dude, and apparently
people
have taken like umbrage to that, being like, it's not that big. Because
he's
like, because he's 6'2".
He's
he's tall compared to you, because you're
everyone's
like
big compared to
11.
Me.
And like, I'm 5'10", so he's still taller than me.
Yeah.
But anyway,
he's wide.
Yes. So he says, hey guys, just wanted to say the Lars Sullivan is 6'3" and 330 pounds, whereas Braun is 6'8" and 385 pounds. Mm-hmm. I've looked up most of the giants in WWE that I can think of, and Lars is quite small. The only argument I can see is his body shape. He has huge shoulder to shoulder length, which is 36 inches or 3 foot.
That's like me across his shoulders.
Yeah, that's why we say he's big. He's a Jack Kirby drawing come to life.
Yeah.
He just looks like a... He might not be the tallest lad, he might not be the heaviest, but he looks ginormous because of the way his body is proportioned.
Exactly. It's just his presence that he has looks so much bigger than he actually is. He makes himself seem bigger somehow. It's great.
Absolutely, yeah. Right, let's see if we've got any rest talk get betters. Let's get into the main portion of the show. This is the NXT review, and we're going to be talking about Velveteen Dream's next challenger for the NXT North American Championship. Here's the show.
The
the show kicked off with the North American Championship match between Velveteen Dream and Buddy Murphy, which was absolutely excellent.
It was.
Really, really, really great stuff. And then later in the show, we'll talk about this more in full in a bit. And then later on in the show, we found out that Dominik Dijakovic is going to be in action later on, which ended up being against Aaron Fry, or as I've written first, Aaron Rye. They said the name. It said the name, and it took them ages to put a graphic up. And I was like, I think they said Aaron Rye, but I don't really know. Oh, it's Aaron Fry. Okay. And this was one move. This was the discus, big boot, laid him out, 1, 2, 3, made Dijak look awesome.
Yeah, he looked like an absolute dominating force, which is, I think Mauro said that on commentary. You say you should call him Dominant Dijakovic.
Very good, Mauro. Yeah, see classic, what you classic did Mauro. There. And I like that he grabbed the microphone and some of the crowd started chanting for Keith Lee, which says that feud is still kind of over, despite the fact it's been on hold now for like 5 or 6 weeks or so. It's been a while since we had that match between the two of them.
I think it shows that people still want to see that big kind of blow-off
That's
match.
It, yeah.
That thing that we thought we might get a takeover, which they haven't done.
Yeah, it was unfortunate because Keith Lee got injured, so they couldn't do the match there.
Exactly. And
it feels like they've just been teasing it forever now. They keep saying, oh, it'll be next week. I mean, next week. I meant the week after next week. Yeah.
It'll come eventually, maybe.
It will eventually happen. And he then cut a promo, which I thought was a bit silly.
It was very silly.
I didn't like this promo at all.
No, it was a bit weird. Just saying how his family came over and took the opportunity to come to the United States, and then that opportunity runs through his veins, and he sees opportunity now, and the opportunity is the NXT North American Championship. It's like, that was a really convoluted way to say you want to challenge Dream at some point. Like,
and I'm going to defer to Datsun on this one, although you might be able to help us out here as well, as from WrestleTalk.com, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he have something with his Twitter account recently?
He did. So he deleted his Twitter account after he posted, I don't actually remember what the tweet was, but it was something quite kind of white supremacist-y. Is that supposed to be his character?
Well, that's what I was wondering, because this had almost that feel about it, being like that my family took a huge risk to come over here, and we are I'm gonna use this opportunity to the best of my advantage as a proud American, and I feel that you who are born here are not taking advantage of that. It's kind of like the feel I got from this.
Yeah, it was a bit weird. He didn't say that like kind of on the nose.
No, it wasn't very much, oh, by the way, I am a racist now.
But it was implied a little bit, because you could take it in the way of, well, he's a guy who's come over here and he's making the most of his opportunity, and that's surface level, that is it. But there was kind of the undertone that made you feel a little bit uneasy on the side of it. So I don't know what they're doing with it.
Yeah, because he tagged Donald Trump on the tweet, I think, if I remember correctly. And things like that. Yeah. So it feels very much that maybe that's what they were going for, but it's kind of backfired on them. So they're just going to like rein back in on that now and be like, hey, I mean, you could have read that from this promo if you wanted to, but that's on you. Hey, man, you're the racist, really, but for putting that on the tweet and the promo. But see, I don't think it was a particularly good promo, but him calling out Velveteen Dream and looking to get that North American Championship, I think that's really cool. And it's a good way to elevate Dijakovic above just coming out and having these sort of squash matches.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's a match that people will be invested in to see. If they're already looking to have that Dijakovic-Lee match, which they haven't got yet because of Lee's injury, I think a suitable replacement for that and one that can elevate Dijakovic in the meantime is going against Dream.
But I also, I would add into that as well, now that Keith's back and fit and healthy, or at least I believe he is anyway, he can then step out and be like, hey there, man, like, you and I have unfinished business. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of use that match there as a setup to crown a new number one contender.
Yeah.
It gives the match a little bit of stakes to it. And yeah, and then it'd be, you could almost then possibly even set it up into a three-way match between Dream, Dijakovic and Keith Lee.
That was going to be my next point, was that obviously this didn't set up a definitive match or anything for the North American Championship, so it still leaves it open for Lee to make a return to insert himself into the feud, or for them to add other people into it, make it like a huge multi-man thing for the next takeover or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, it could
that'd be a great match.
Yeah, I think it could be it, even if they did like a, you know, like another multi-man ladder match like they did for the original North American Championship, and they had, you know, they had obviously Dream, maybe like Buddy Murphy comes back again because he did well, didn't
he? He's a SmackDown guy now. He's on that main roster money anymore. He's on that main roster moolah.
But then you have Dijakovic and Lee, and then maybe throw in like a Roderick Strong or something like that. You know, some other people that have been floating around.
Yeah.
I think they could make for another absolutely classic match.
I think I love the idea of a three-way, only because you can tie that into the story they were telling with Dream during the Riddle match, which is that Dream didn't win that match. He survived that match. You know, he got out of that by the skin of his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put him into this ring with these two monsters in Dominik Dijakovic and Keith Lee, who are just going to batter each other and throw him around, and yet he still comes out the winner. I think that'd be a really, like, and his celebration at the end of that would be absolutely marvelous. It kind of would remind me somewhat, if this is the route they do go down, of Crash Holly in 2000 when he was the hardcore champion. He was the Houdini of hardcore, which was just that, hey, he was always in the ring with bigger dudes, and somehow, some way, he would still be hardcore champion by the end. He might lose that belt 20 times in that night, but he would still end off the show as the hardcore champion, the Houdini of hardcore.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, that could really work. You've sold me on that three-way idea now, because I think it makes sense as well for their own feud of Dijakovic and Lee to kind of spill out and take over the entire match, for Dream to just be like, okay, you guys do your thing. I'm just going to chill here for a bit.
I'm going to let King Kong and Godzilla batter each other, and then I'm just going to pick apart the carcass.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, that could definitely work. I'm not sure where the rest of kind of the whole roster fits into it, because obviously we've got this other, as we saw later on in the show, we've got this whole feud between Gargano and Cole / dissension with Strong and stuff like that.
I'm not so into that at all.
No, not really. No. Me neither, but so if, like, say for example this leads to like Strong's excommunication, perhaps he could be inserted in this kind of picture, or maybe that's the next step after they have this three-way, the next feud for them after Lee and Dijakovic go off and do their thing. You can have Dream and Strong for the North American title, some of that. There's lots of good possibilities in the future, and I'm excited for the North American Championship picture for
it,
sure.
They've got such a strong roster of guys there, and it's also it helps Matt Riddle not be stuck in that picture. I don't want to say stuck in that picture, because that makes it sound like it's a real negative, and I really don't mean that as negative, because I think that the North American Championship holds so much water and value than both the US and the IC belts on the main roster.
Oh, God, so much more, yeah.
You know, it just feel like main fodder, you know, main roster fodder, basically.
Yeah.
Whereas the North American Championship feels like a belt that means something if you win it. Although it's been hot potatoed around a little bit this year already, I'd argue that it still feels like a legit belt that people do want to go for.
Absolutely.
But Matt Riddle, I feel, is someone who should be in that main event scene. He needs to be in there with the Garganos and the Coles and everyone else in that main event scene. And you can then use this North American Championship match of Dream with Lee and Dijakovic to then elevate Lee and Dijakovic into that main event scene as well. Or give one of them the belts. You mean,
yeah.
I'm going with this sort of like Houdini of hardcore gimmick for Dream. But yeah, one of them could win the belt.
Yeah,
and I think
exactly.
It would do wonders for both of them.
Absolutely, yeah. Like you said, the title carries so much weight behind it that something that the IC and the US Championships never really seem to do is make you excited for those matches in the future. They've had good like US and IC title matches on the main roster, but you can guarantee that the North American Championship match is going to be a really bloody good match.
Yeah.
And they always give you that, and they don't give you someone that you're not particularly invested in, or someone who's like a, you know, like a fluke victory kind of thing, or like roll-ups or stuff like that. They always get, well, I say that, Dream versus Riddle roll-up, but it was part of the story. You get what I mean.
Well, you're right, though. That was part of the story of the match.
Exactly, yeah. It was a story that they played into it. So something that you can guarantee is that the North American Championship is always going to be a strong focal point of the show, surrounded by this massive horde of talent, as opposed to throwaway kind of jobbers.
Yeah, and it's I think as well, Joe with the US belt has been really good.
Yeah.
Like I think it's a perfect fit for him. I think he needed it after that AJ feud, which I would argue derailed some of his momentum.
Absolutely, yeah.
Only because the feud went on for too long.
Yeah.
Like, that went on for about 2 months too long, really. They didn't need to be feuding for 4 months. But the problem is, since he's won the belt, is he's been pinned a lot. Like,
yeah.
He became just, every single week, just like, oh, he's been rolled up. He just kept getting pinned. Until he finally, like, destroyed Mysterio at WrestleMania.
I know, yeah. Which, I know some people have bashed that match at WrestleMania. I think you guys did, maybe.
Well, only because it went so short and I was really excited for it.
Yeah, but I think it worked so well. He came out and tried, and I was like, oh, Joe's still a monster. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, because I'm a huge fan of Joe. And there's only so many times you can roll him up and then him go afterwards.
Oh, you got me again!
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing that you never see with the North American Championship, because it's a prestigious belt that they care about, which is great.
It is great. Yeah. So let's talk about the first match that came in there as well, which was Velveteen Dream versus Buddy Murphy. Mm. I did get a tweet from someone after SmackDown. They tweeted me saying like, well, I mean, at least the matches on this week's NXT don't matter. And it's true, because the two title matches they had here were Buddy Murphy going for the North American Championship, SmackDown's newest star, Buddy Murphy. And the main event was Kairi Sane, SmackDown's newest star, Kairi Sane, going for the Women's Championship. You're like, well, cool. We know they're not winning then.
Yep.
But I don't think that particularly hurt this match.
No.
Because this was a really, really... Buddy Murphy was absolutely incredible.
Is this news anymore? Buddy Murphy has a really good match. That's what he does now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he is... He is an incredible talent, and I'm very happy he's gone to SmackDown and not Raw.
Yeah.
That makes me very, very happy.
Yeah, Ollie and I, the weekend ramble, is us ranking the superstar shake-up picks, the draft. And Buddy Murphy's very high
up on
the list. Because I think he's someone with so much promise that he can easily slot into that IC picture with Finn Balor and possibly even Chad Gable and things like that. And then possibly if he can get over enough, which I think he can do, he could feel like a legit challenger to the WWE Championship.
Yeah.
And to be honest, with Kofi winning the WWE Championship, suddenly it feels like, well, bloody anyone can win it then.
Anyone, let's go.
All he's got to do is just get some momentum.
Exactly, yeah.
And you're on your way.
Yeah.
That's all it takes, is for the crowd to get solidly behind someone or solidly against someone. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you could be in that title picture.
Absolutely. And for someone like Buddy Murphy, he can get that because he has that kind of in-ring talent that people will draw themselves to if you give him that opportunity. Because that's what happened with Kofi in the Gauntlet match, was you got behind his story through the Gauntlet match. And that one match just turned everyone go, I love Kofi now.
Yeah.
So if you just do a similar thing with Murphy, obviously it won't quite work because he's not a face. But if you do something similar where he gets to showcase his talent and manages to get people invested in his kind of matches in that kind of same vein that they do on SmackDown with slightly better storytelling than Raw, there's something in him.
Yeah.
There really is something to him. Like, he could be something big.
But let's not downplay Velveteen Dream in this match.
Oh, no, not at all.
Like, Dream was, he's so quick.
Yeah.
So when I was watching this, there's a moment when, like, as Murphy gets started really, really fast on this, and Dream hits this desperation super kick, but he makes this big comeback, including like going up to the top rope, hitting the double axe handle. Then before you know it, he's on the other turnbuckle doing another double axe handle to the floor. He's so incredibly quick, and I loved the finisher of this match, finish of this match, I should say.
Yeah, it was so good.
So, so cool, because Buddy Murphy is on the outside, and he hits a running knee strike on the apron, and Dream, he missed at it.
He died. He just
hit the deck, and you're like, oh, he's out. So Buddy Murphy then can't lift him up, because he's essentially dead weight, and the referee's counting, and Buddy Murphy's like panicking. Runs into the ring, breaks up the count, and then he finally gets in. But there was that momentary, it gave Dream just enough time to recover, play a little bit of possum, hit the famouser through the rope, Dream Valley Driver and the Purple Rainmaker to retain. Loved that finish. And I thought it was an effing great match.
Yes, it was brilliant. Watch it.
Yeah, it's good. If you only watch the Wrestle Rambles to get the reviews, and you're like, oh, which matches should I check out? This match right here.
Yep.
I would say probably this match would be the only match you need to check out on this week's show. But it's well worth going out of your way to see.
Absolutely.
By the way, speaking of that, Luke Harper versus Dijakovic as well from the Worlds Collide Tournament. Mm. I have yet to see it, but I'm going to watch it. I'm going to try and watch it tomorrow because I've got a bit of free time because it's Bank Holiday Friday tomorrow. And although I'm here, I'm on my own, so I'm not being asked to do other things. So I might have some time to be able to
watch
some
other wrestling. People can finally leave you alone.
yeah, quite. I mean, I've been recording pretty much non-stop since I got in.
Yeah, that's true.
I did the news. Yeah. We played Smash Brothers for Laurie's news. Ollie and I recorded Saturday's Ramble. Mm-hmm. Now we're doing this. You and I have got to do a podcast after this. And then Ollie and I have got to record some more stuff for our Patreon backers.
At some point, you've got to go home, I guess.
Well, you
stay here till tomorrow.
I mean, I did say to my wife today, I was like, oh, I'm not coming home, like, on time. Like, I'm going to be home at a ludicrous hour tonight.
Dig, Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you want to get your name shouted out in the Wrestle Ramble, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon at the $25 and above level, and you can get your name said by us cool people, and you get a cool wrestling nickname like this man, Michael Plowman. That's his name. That name again is Michael Plowman. Woo! Woo! Mr. Plow! Mr. Plow!
Yo, Adrian! Rocky!
Woohoo! Yes! Woo! Nice!
Naughty Nathan Lamont Collins.
Yeah, woo-hoo! He's naughty. He quit the band Mike Soloman.
Hey, Solomon. She should be so lucky. Kylie Downey.
Oh, lucky, lucky, lucky.
Lucky. Shaun of the Dead Peril.
Shaun of the Dead. Great film. Recently great celebrated film. An anniversary. The Real Boss. Matt Robinson. He's a real boss.
Real boss.
Real, real one.
None realer than him. Dat boy, Alex Fenton.
His name, not the Fenton. One we gave him.
Dat boy.
Fenton.
Join him. John Iowa.
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 Iowa. Funny enough, we were just talking about that. Iowa. Earlier. The Rocket, Dan Van Sky. Dan Van Sky. Very nice. Woo!
The chairman of the board, Jib Pessonen.
Jib Pessonen.
He's one of our biggest fans.
One of our longest standing pledge hammers.
That's
what
amazing.
A great dude.
And everyone's favorite.
Speaking of long standing.
The mayor of Painesville, Dan.
Yeah, Dan. Woo! Dan, my boy.
Big Dan. Dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity, dog.
Breaking. Randall Keith Datson, can we have some super chats, please?
You can.
Super chats. Eight. Nice.
A nice specific number.
Micah Williams, who's donated, and asks, what do you think will happen to Jason Jordan? Slightly off topic.
Well, the word is he's retired.
Yes.
He quietly has retired. He still, like, I think this is what Meltzer was reporting. He still wants to wrestle, but his back injury, or the injury that he had, I can't remember quite when the injury was.
I think it was something to do with his neck.
Yeah, it was bad. Reportedly way worse than everyone had thought it was. And he's quietly retired and is already kind of moved into a backstage role. Mm-hmm. And is just sort of working as a producer. You can even see him during, when Roman Reigns came back. Like, he's just there in a suit hugging people. So I believe that's what's next for Jason Jordan, is a steady paycheck.
Jordan Trickett has donated, not a question, but just to say, in work at the moment. Enjoy my money. Hashtag support WrestleTalk.
Thank you very much for watching. That just seriously, anyone who's watching, thank you for watching.
Yeah.
Chris Merriman, you may have heard of him. Would you be down to see the Kevin Owens / Johnny Gargano team, Panda Express, from the indies that never came to be on the main, that never came to be on the main roster in the future?
Yeah. I mean,
sure.
Absolutely. Why not? Like, Johnny Gargano is, do I want to say he's the best wrestler that WWE has?
It's a bold claim, but it's not one that I just go, what? No way. Is he?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I was going to say it, then stop myself to be like, oh, is he? Then the more I thought about it, I'm like, no, I think he might be.
he might be
the best wrestler WWE has. He's certainly the most consistent of, like,
yeah.
And that consistency is 5-star matches, which makes me think he might be, like, if not the, then one of the
best.
I
think he's definitely the best storyteller, in-ring storyteller, out of anyone in the company.
Yeah.
Easily. That's what I think. Possibly in the world.
and him with Kevin Owens would be great.
Yeah.
I think they'd have a lot of fun.
They'd play off each other so well.
Yeah.
I think so. Absolutely. Yeah.
One of our most frequent super chatters, jobber.jj496, says simply, what next for Riddle?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because clearly they're still doing some stuff with Gargano versus the Undisputed Era.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not putting Riddle back into that North American Championship picture, then he's not going into the NXT Championship picture either.
Yep.
So I'd kind of like to see him get into like a singular feud, maybe a number one contendership feud for the NXT Championship.
Who would that be against?
That was going to be my question to you, is who would that be against? Let's have a look, see if we can find who the...
Kona Reeves.
No, it's not against Tesco's finest.
Not Kona Reeves.
List of WWE personnel, my favourite Wikipedia page.
That is beautiful.
You have to scroll down quite far to get to NXT.
Yeah. It's got hyperlinks, I can use those. Damian Priest, which is Punishment
Martinez. Is a new name, yeah.
So that'd be pretty good if he was to return. Jackson Ryker's not a bad shout.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
He's clearly someone they've got a lot of high hopes for.
Mm-hmm.
So I think putting him into that role wouldn't be the worst.
Yeah, and Riddle could definitely get a good match out of him.
Absolutely,
for sure,
yeah. So. Well, actually, I think Jackson's really, really great.
Yeah.
But you're right.
He's
not been quite
used right yet.
He's just been doing squash matches.
Exactly,
and staring intently into the camera.
Yeah.
But I think those are kind of like your big names currently, because as Datsun teased, it's not going to be Tesco's finest Kona Reeves. It's not going to be Riddick Moss.
No.
Constant NXT lifer, Riddick
Sabatelli.
Moss. Yeah, well, that's it. It'll be Tito Sabatelli there forever. So maybe it will be that. Actually, it almost feels like we need a new influx of NXT guys, but we need a new influx of main eventers.
Because
they've lost Ricochet, they've lost Aleister Black.
Yep.
And... yeah, I think that
Bo
and
Dallas.
And Ciampa's out with an injury. Yep. Great shout. So, I think we need to start elevating some of these guys now.
Well, hopefully in the near future. Well, we saw on the show that Kushida's coming in sooner rather than later, and 2 weeks I think they advertised. So, I don't know what time he did that. I don't know where he'd kind of slot. I think North American's a good place to start for him, although he could end up going a little bit higher. I don't know. I don't think he'd enter a feud with Riddle, though, simply because I think they're both going to be faces.
Yeah.
But...
well, they have... so we had a report from someone who went to an NXT house show, and he was tagging with Riddle.
Oh, right, okay.
As Kushid bro. So... Maybe that could be a direction
for him.
Oh yeah, or Broshida. That's also very good.
Broshida's so much better than Kushida.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't even know if it was Kushida. I just came off the top of my head, but Broshida is so much better.
Yeah,
Broshida
is much better.
So maybe we could go with that and put them into a tag.
Sure.
Just almost like it's. I don't want to use this term as a derogatory, but to keep Riddle busy until we can get him into that North America and into that NXT Championship picture. Keep the plate spinning is a better way to put it.
Yeah.
Or they could drop people down like Tyler Breeze or something like that, maybe.
Not the worst shout.
Micah, who asked the question earlier about Jason Jordan, just has donated again to say thank you.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Apollo has donated, hasn't said anything, so I'll use that opportunity to say, I'm not Ollie. What? People still think, Ollie, why are you being so weird? And it's like, no, that's just me being normal. Luke Graham says, Riddle versus Lesnar, first night of SmackDown on Fox.
That is not
the worst idea I've ever heard.
It's not the worst idea. It also won't happen. But
hey, do you know what? Idea. No, do you know what? I think there could be something in that. Fox do want a more sports-like presentation.
Okay.
And how more sports-like could you be than essentially presenting a fake MMA fight on the first episode of SmackDown? And this is going to be a big thing for WWE. They're going to give the big money offer to Big Money Brock, mm-hmm. like to try and get him to do it as like a special presentation match. It doesn't. It's not for like a title. It's not for Brock's career or anything like that. But Brock versus Riddle, first episode of SmackDown on Fox. Oh yeah. Or maybe they'll do it like Josh Barnett's Bloodsport.
Yeah. guess who the next one's from, Luke?
Is it Tomo?
It's Tomo. So he says, "Would you like to see Buddy Murphy be on both SmackDown and NXT?" I would.
Yeah, I mean, I would. I'll be honest, there's like a litany of people I would like to see on both shows because yeah, that way you get them the main roster exposure, but you also get them have like the great matches that they can have down in NXT.
Yeah. I would very much enjoy that, but it won't happen.
Yeah.
Because he's on SmackDown.
We've had a few more.
That's not sad. That's a great show. I think Buddy Murphy on SmackDown is going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
You said it was sad.
I mean, sad that he's not on NXT because I want to see him on NXT.
We've had a few more coming in. Kevin just says, Randy Datsun is a bigger heel than Baron Corbin.
Oh, that's not true at
all. That's debatable.
Well, I did tell him that I would never forgive his mother for giving birth to him.
Why are you trying to heel things up
because
on Twitter?
Because people keep calling me a heel.
So you're just doing it.
Yeah, fulfilling prophecy, I guess.
Hashtag WRWR pod.
Yes, my boys.
Says, are you coming to Progress Super Strong Style? I can sort of answer this. I think you might be for the first couple of days. I was going to, but then I got booked away for the weekend. So Louis from the website is going to go and cover it for us.
Yeah, he's going to be covering it live while there. But I might be there, yeah, because we've got tickets to go. Mm. But it's just I need to check my calendar to see if I'm actually available. I'm not sure. I'm not going to be able to go for all 3 days.
No. It's a wonderful, wonderful car.
Oh, isn't it just? I'm thinking I'm going to be there on the Sunday, though, because I think the Sunday has got the Walter Trent 7 champion versus championship match.
That sounds spicy.
And I want to see O'Reilly there and my boy Chris Brooks. Yeah. Shout out to Kid Lykos as well.
Poor bloke.
God, yeah. he's had a rough couple of years.
Younger than
Lykos. I know, yeah. Man. Yeah.
Mental.
We haven't got his thing. There he is.
Nice.
Poor old Lykos. Retiring at the age of 22. Yeah.
Insane.
It is insane.
I went last year and it was other than the the Tyler Bate Walter match, still the best time of live wrestling I've ever seen.
Oh, is that the Hello Wembley show?
Yeah.
That Hello Wembley show was absolutely insane.
Brendan Reddy just donated.
Thank
no
you
message.
Very, very
Thank
much.
You.
Apollo, who...
Randy should be much more enthusiastic when he reads
oh,
out those.
Oh, Brendan Reddy?
Yes, exactly. Oh, they just go like, he's just donated.
Well, he's just donated with no question. What an idiot,
Apollo,
right?
Who did donate earlier with no message, has donated again with a message
okay.
to say, who's the best underutilized star in WWE?
Andrade is so underutilized and has done nothing for a year. I know people can argue that he had some stuff with Rey Mysterio, but it led to nothing. It led to nout.
Yeah, it was the beginnings of a feud yeah. and it was never capitalized on.
Exactly. I think he is the most underutilized star they have on that main roster.
God, Andrade is such a good shout. I was trying to think of someone else, but Andrade is just better than all of them.
This is why I answer first.
Micah Williams says, and I quote, did you see Brock Lesnar UFC fight he will do?
Brock Lesnar, I did not. Brock Lesnar fight. Sorry, Googling live on air. Have they announced the Daniel Cormier fight, or is it just still like
I haven't
planned?
Seen that.
Because I know that's what Dana White wants to do, is offer him Cormier.
Yeah, yeah. I always heard that was the plan, and then sporadically I've also heard, hey, that plan's still to do the fight at
yeah,
some
but
point.
There's
but
nothing
no,
in the
anything.
News that says the fight's been confirmed.
No.
So I don't know.
Okay. Oblivious Kari says, one free super chat. You guys are great.
Thank you
very much. No, you're great. You're great.
And finally, Michael Montiel just says, Andy, mess with Luke and Pete.
Done.
How would you do that?
Exactly. I don't know how I'd do that, but I'll do my best, Michael.
I've only shown Randy how to use the broad functionalities of the program. So he cannot mess things up too much.
Keep this on me for the whole time, but that won't be very interesting.
Yeah, don't do that.
So that's that.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much to anyone who's tuning in, and thank you so much for all of your super chats as well. Right, well, let's talk about the show itself. We talked about the first match, but I didn't see NXT last week because I had the day off on Thursday to try to catch up on sleep after Mania craziness. But yeah, you watched it.
I did.
Was that when they did this new opening with the Slipknot track?
Yes.
Okay. And put this out on Front Street.
Okay.
I like the song.
Okay.
Think the song is very good.
Yep.
I'm not a hardcore fan. I used to be back in like 1999, 2000, right, 2001. Yeah. Like I used to do a paper round when I was 14, and I used to, because it was easier while you're cycling, I had Iowa on cassette that I had recorded myself, specifically with Left Behind at the start, because if I listened to that album up until Left Behind, it would do basically cover my whole paper round.
Oh, nice.
It was a good way for me to kind of time it, so I know when I was coming to the end of it.
Class.
So, big fan of Slipknot.
Yeah.
Love the song. Think the song is great. That start is so goofy. Where they're all singing it.
See, that's what I said.
Oh, it's lame, mate.
Laurie disagreed with me, and he said he thought it was pretty cool, and I was like, no, it looks really
so
dumb.
So lame.
It's really
It was lame.
Dumb.
I think it looks a bit lame, to be honest.
Yeah.
When they stop doing that bit,
yeah,
and it's just action,
yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah, it's great. Perfect. Great. Awesome.
Them all standing in a row.
And just like...
And I'm like, oh, mate, it makes you all look like dorks.
It's not great.
Yeah. So I'm just going to put that on Front Street.
Yeah.
I thought that it's a cool song and eventually gets cool, but them singing sounds...
I'll say what I said last week. They should just go back to the original NXT song, which is Welcome Home by Coheed and Cambria. Because it's great.
It's not as good as Slipknot, though, is it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, well,
it's better than the last one. I hate
that song. Infinitely better.
I hate that song so much.
Infinitely better than any Raw and SmackDown theme ever.
Yeah. Although, I've got to say, I didn't mind the Nickelback one. I always thought that was kind of jaunty, wasn't it? I was quite like that one.
Going out tonight! Yeah, that's good.
Anyway, so we had the Velveteen Dream Buddy Murphy match, and then we got that video package for the WWE PC YouTube channel, which is such a good video. Really,
it is.
Really great.
Very heartfelt.
Yeah, it really makes me want to watch their video.
I know, right? Yeah. Although I find it funny that their tag for it is "This is real life." It's like,
so what are we watching?
Is nothing else real life? What are you talking about?
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide? No escape from reality. So anyway, Street Profits were then doing their promos backstage. I bloody love Street Profits. I've gone on record saying many, many times. I just think they're so charismatic. Montez Ford in particular is dripping in charisma.
He is.
He's great.
Mm-hmm.
Future WWE champion Montez Ford. I'm putting my flag in the ground for that one. And they're basically talking about how they're looking for opportunities. People are knocking on doors. They're literally going to go knock on a door. And they walk up to William Regal's office, knock on the door. And who should walk out? But the Viking Experience!
Wearing War Raiders t-shirts!
Slash the War Raiders! Because I think they're still War Raiders in NXT.
Yeah,
apart from when
weird.
Apart from when Nigel had to do that plug towards the end.
He did the plug for him.
You can almost hear him going, and the Viking Experience! With their War Raiders t-shirts.
Oh, God.
I'd also like as well, because when Street Profits do their promos, they've got their music in the background.
Yeah.
And as soon as the War Raiders come out, music stops. And they look at them looking... Even the fact that Hansen is wearing a flat cap, he's wearing like a little army hat, he still looks so scary.
I know, yeah.
And they're
ridiculous.
Just looking like these really intent eyes, look at their championships and their shoulder looking like complete badasses. And they're like, hey, we hear what you've been saying, and next week, be careful what you wish for. And
we'll see you in the ring.
And they walk away. Music starts again.
Like, hey! Did you hear what they said? Gosh, Street Profits are awesome.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're getting War Raiders. Sorry. No, War Raiders. I think that's right. I think they're still going to be the War Raiders in NXT.
I don't know.
Well, they taped it. So they're going to have to be.
Yeah. But they might just like do the ring announcer bit and dub it over. Oh, the Viking Experience.
Yeah, but they'd have to re-record the whole commentary as well. I mean, that's not out of the realms of possibility
in all fairness.
They might.
Crazier things have happened.
Absolutely.
We then got another promo coming up next. This one comes from Johnny Gargano. He comes out to say that he won the title. This is his first time being in Full Sail since winning the belt at TakeOver New York. And crowd reaction was great for it. Huge pop when his music hits. And he walks out, cutting this promo, and then the Undisputed Era come out with no Roderick Strong. Now, you might want to fill me in on the blanks with this one. What's going on with the Undisputed Era and Roddy Strong?
So there was a WWE.com exclusive that was played on last week's NXT that happened straight after NXT TakeOver in New York, where the Undisputed Era were backstage, and you could see it was immediately after Cole versus Gargano. And they were all kind of being like, oh man, what happened? Whoa, that sucks.
What happened?
And then Cole was being really annoyed and just being like, oh, and just kind of shaking the other guys off and not really wanting to talk to him. And then at one point, he specifically turns around to Roddy and goes, hey, Roddy, what were you thinking about coming out and doing this, that, and the other? And Roddy's just like, the hell? We're all part of this. And it turns out that Roddy was actually kind of the good guy because he initiated the whole thing. He distracted the ref, which allowed O'Reilly and Fish to get in and stop Cole from losing because he was already tapping.
Yeah.
So, interesting little point. So there was a little bit of dissension there, and then Cole turned and saw a cameraman filming them and be like, hey, stop filming, and then it just like kind of cuts out after that. So there was a little bit of dissension between Cole and Roddy in particular.
Which I think was carried on with this show.
Very much so.
They came out without Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
And Cole's there cutting this promo and, you know, talking about how, hey, I beat you at TakeOver New York. I got the first pinfall.
He's got a point.
He has got a point. But then Gargano had an even better point. 2 out of 3 falls match. Scoreboard read 2-1.
Yeah. I win.
I won. And I like how Cole realized he'd lost that fight. And just went, hey, shut up, man.
Shut up, Johnny.
Shut up, dude. You jerk. And and then he calls him, Gargano says that he's a crying baby.
Yeah, so that was a good line. Yeah.
Challenged him to another match and says, I'm going to put more numbers up on that scoreboard.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Yeah. And then the Undisputed Era start to walk down to the ring. Who should attack Gargano from behind but Roderick Strong?
Hey.
Was it all a ruse? Was it all? And they do kind of play it up that it was a ruse.
Yes, I think it was. Yeah.
Because they have this promo backstage with Kathy Kelly where he says, oh, Gargano ran into one of our classic traps.
Mm-hmm. Undisputed Era. We're so good. Smart.
Yeah, hands and all that. And then, but then Regal walks up and says that I've decided that you are going to have a match next week with the Undisputed Era, but it's going to be Roderick Strong versus Johnny Gargano.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Cole has this look on his face that's just like, you dick.
Yeah.
But not to Regal, but he had this look on his face almost to Strong being like, dude's trying to take my spotlight.
Exactly, yeah.
I am not into this.
No.
I'm not in the sense of, I think it's a good story.
Mm.
And I think Roderick Strong being the one to break out of the group is a really, really good story. It's a great story, in fact. Just not now.
No.
Oh, man. I don't want to see this foursome broke up.
No.
Absolutely not.
No. Me and Laurie discussed this at length last week, so I'll hit you with the bullet points.
Please do.
But we came
I
up
tuned
with...
in for the last 10 minutes of the live stream.
We came up with seemingly an infinite amount of possibilities that they could take this story forward, and none of them are as good as just keeping them all together because they're just such a good foursome. Like, just keep them together.
Yeah.
It's just so much better. Like, we are saying that obviously this could lead to Cole being, Strong being excommunicated from the group. This could be a way to have Cole excommunicated from the group because he gets too power crazy or whatever.
I think I like that even less.
Yeah, I know. He's going to be great on his own, sure. Or they could have just like the whole thing falls apart, or Strong is in the bad books, and then Marina Shafir comes and like repairs the wounds, and that's how she gets inserted into Undisputed Era because that was a rumor. Or maybe Strong and Shafir form a tag team together after he comes. Like, I don't know, man. We were just like throwing ideas back and forth.
Spitballing ideas.
None of them are as good as just keeping them together.
You had to spitball these ideas because WWE backed you into a corner. How do we get ourselves out of this? Without as much damage.
Yeah. Cole was very annoyed about this. And Strong looked very happy. He's like, hey, guys, got a match against Gargano. That's just what we wanted, right? And Cole was just like, yeah, but
I wanted the match.
I wanted my match.
I'm hoping, and I'm putting a lot of faith into NXT here, which I think is warranted because
yes.
It is a company, it's a brand that has not done us wrong in the past.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a couple of things where I've been like, I thought that was fine. But there's never been anything on NXT where I've gone like, God, that was awful. God, that
yeah.
was horrible. That was dreadful. What a terrible match that was. What a terrible presentation of this character. So I have got faith, because you've got to have faith. It's George Michael once.
George Michael, yeah.
As Limp Bizkit once eloquently covered. You've got to have faith. And I hope that this just leads to the four of them sticking together, coming out of this stronger on the other side, and we can get a proper...
Roderick stronger on the other side.
Nice, good one. Win some titles, win some belts, and just be a really strong unit before they get called up to the main roster and become Sanity 2.0.
Yeah.
You know, not used on TV or whatever.
Yeah.
I want a Roderick Strong year for Undisputed Era in 2019. I don't want them to just be losing and then split up or with... Nope, not into it. Not into it.
Definitely not into it. Like we said, it's a good story that they're telling.
Great story.
It's a great story, and it works well, and they're doing all these subtle little things, and it's a good... well-presented story. I just don't want that story to happen.
As a good example, if you compare them to Evolution, and I wasn't watching at the time that Evolution was like really on top. I actually got back into wrestling via my housemate at university in like January 2005, which New Year's Revolution, where Batista was in the Elimination Chamber with Triple H when he was still part of the group. But I've gone back and watched all the pay-per-view since. The reason why I think the Randy Orton like split from Evolution works so well is because they were so well established and they'd won belts together and they were always winning all the time. So when they turned on Randy Orton, when Triple H turned on Randy, it was like, oh my God, what an absolute dick, you know, because you're meant to be the student and I'm always supposed to be the master. Mm-hmm. And I think that was told even better than with Batista when Batista then left in 2005 and he split away from the group. I just don't think it's the right time. That this group as a foursome doesn't feel established enough for one of them to be splintering off.
Absolutely, yeah. They need more time, and me and Laurie said this last week as well, we really need that undisputed moment of them holding all the titles. We need that to cement them as this fantastic, one of the best groups in NXT ever, which they are, which they deserve to have that kind of moment, even if it is literally a moment. For one night, they are all the champions, and then the next night, one of them loses one of them, or something like that. I say the next night. The next NXT show.
Yeah.
Just a moment to cement them as be like, this is the Undisputed Era. These are four people that are here to dominate NXT, and they've done so. Look at them. Aren't they great? And then after that, they can go lose the titles and be called up to the main roster and whatever else. But they've had that moment to cement them as that group.
Yeah, that's what they need. Completely agree. Speaking of things that I also agree on, Kushida is coming into NXT and he got a video package here that showed him off being like, with his time splitter gimmick.
He's got time splitter still.
Oh, I'm so chuffed to bits that he gets to still be Marty McFly in WWE.
I don't understand how it works. I don't get it.
I have no idea. And when I look at it, I'm like, God, that should be really goofy.
Yeah.
But I look at it and I'm like, no, this is awesome.
No, it's cool.
This is really,
really cool.
I remember I went to a Rev Pro show when they're doing their TV tapings when they're on, what channel were they on? Whichever channel it was. And Kushida was like one of the early matches on the card. Popping huge for Kushida.
Oh,
I love him.
He's great.
Really, really great. Then we got the Dominik Dijakovic versus Aaron Fry? Aaron Fry.
Aaron Fry.
Match. Then we had the Undisputed Era promo that we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. Got a recap of the history of Baszler versus Zayn. And then we got another promo from Aaliyah and Vanessa Bourne saying that Candice LeRae got lucky last week.
Of course.
Because they were too distracted because they'd been shopping all day. They're in New York. And
been too busy being bougie or whatever it is.
Yeah. Datsun, can you help us out? Is it bougie? Bougie? It's Aaliyah's gimmick.
Bougie.
Into the microphone, if you like.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Bougie!
Bougie, or something like this. We have talked about this on the podcast before.
Yeah, we have. Datsun, don't you listen to the Wrestle Rambles?
How are we spelling bougie?
I don't know. B-O-U-
I think it's B-O-U-J-E-E.
Bougie, possibly. Or boozy.
Bougie! Bougie all night long.
Either way, we are getting a tag match next week between Bourne and Aaliyah versus Candice and a mystery partner.
Mm.
And we're also getting Gargano versus Roderick Strong. Oh, Kushida is going to be debuting in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Two weeks. Then we got Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane in the main event. Shayna's NXT Women's Championship was on the line. And Kairi Sane's, this is her last opportunity at the belt. If she loses this match, then that's it.
Yep.
She cannot challenge ever again. And by the end of this match, I thought, there was more to this story that appears to have been cut short because Karakusei's off to the main roster now.
Yeah.
Because this had an ambiguous ending.
It did, yeah.
So, we'll get into the ending in just a little bit. Have you got an answer for us?
I have an answer for Bougie.
Bougie!
So this is what refinery29.com says.
Okay.
Reputable source.
Oh, here we go. Bad means good, like a badass or bad bitch. Being bad should be on your own 2017 vision board if it's not... Wait.
What?
This is on something else. Anyway, I'll read the art then bit. Stylized as bougie, the word is derived from bourgeois, an elite demographic defined by a need for luxury and material items.
Good gimmick, Aaliyah. Okay. I mean, that's a good gimmick.
It's fine.
It's an absolutely fine gimmick.
It's fine.
I like how that I had to explain that bad means good. It's like, mate, it's not 1991. I'm pretty sure we're all aware of that now.
That is so bad. Bro.
Bro.
Gnarly.
I mean, has no one ever heard of Michael Jackson? Come on, man. I'm sure people have heard of him now, though.
Yep.
Anyway, on to other things. I loved how quick Sane was out of the gates on this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was almost... I'm looking to end this match early. Like, I'm going for insane elbows. I'm going for the spears. I'm doing things like that. I'm going to lock in the anchor. I thought it was really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Hot opener. Really enjoyed it.
It was class.
But eventually, like, they did some, you know, some good stuff here. Baszler, she dodged the Sergeant Kabuki Man elbow, and Sane crashed into the barricade. And I love this. This was my favorite moment of the match, though. It's a moment when Baszler hits a move, and she covers Kairi Sane, but it's a really naff-looking pin. But it totally made sense for her character, because she knew Sane would kick out, and her kicking out would let her get her into a really good submission move.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Yeah. Such good character work.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah. Love Baszler. Love Sane.
Yeah.
They're both amazing.
This was really, really good. But that arm had really hurt Kairi Sane. And the arm submission that she had her in, and the ref starts calling down for doctors. Io Shirai runs down. Mm-hmm. It's all this commotion. And then all of a sudden, Io gets in and calls the DQ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Io Shirai, Kairi Sane's last ever chance of winning the NXT Women's Championship. And Io Shirai caused a DQ.
Yeah. I think it...
And Kairi Sane said, sail for the main roster, never to be spoken of again. I'm sure it was all part of the plan.
So, I like the story that they told. This is a very interesting first chapter of this story with Shirai and Sane. Don't think they're going to get a chance to tell any more chapters, but...
Yeah.
I think it was very intriguing, because Sane was on the floor next to the apron outside the ring. And the doctors come down. Baszler was in the ring, just kind of waiting. And then Sane was obviously holding her arm, being very injured. And then while the doctors and people were trying to get into Sane, Baszler grabbed her back into the ring because the other Duke and Shafir started messing with Shirai. And then she gets her in the ring, and she goes to do her stumpy arm thing that she does on the injured arm. And that's when Shirai's like, oh God, I can't let this happen. I need to save my friend, which is when she comes in and pushes Baszler out the way. She doesn't do anything too physical. She doesn't hit her or anything. Literally just pushes her out the way, which means that it causes the DQ, but it saves Sane, which is an interesting story beat. And we've seen it with things like the Mustache Mountain Undisputed Era feud when Trent Seven threw in the towel. Sorry, it was Trent Seven at the other one to go throw in the towel but didn't. And he threw in the towel to save his teammate. And that's a... It's a nice dynamic between the two people. It's an unbreakable friendship that will never be broken, especially when Sane doesn't go on to SmackDown to team with anyone else.
Well, that's it, yeah, but it feels like they've been teasing this for a while now, because they had that moment where Io Shirai got the... I can't remember what it was, but it was like it was Io Shirai's to do it. It was just before New York, and there was this look on Kairi Sane's face that was just like, oh, I mean, you're my friend and everything, but I want to win the belt.
Yeah,
and...
Yeah.
And I love you and everything, but I don't want you to win the belt because I want to win it. And then they had those moments during the matches as well.
Exactly.
So it's actually some really nice, subtle storytelling, but it almost feels to be cut short now because Sane's going off to the main roster.
Yeah, so now I think the direction they might take this is have Shirai be Baszler's next challenger and just kind of be like, try such a good friend to Sane, you know, saving her from that injury and stuff, and they'll just be like, yeah, but Sane's in the main roster, we don't need to focus on her anymore. But Shirai, such a good friend, and, you know, Baze has been tormenting her friends that we won't name, and Shirai is just, you know, coming straight for that NXT Women's Championship. I think that's probably the way they're going to go.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
But I don't think that's the way they wanted to go, necessarily.
And it springs to mind, I would have thought Kairi Sane coming up to the main roster for this year was like a done deal a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
It almost felt like we've been building to this for a while because she was in the Rumble, she was in the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. She's clearly been primed for a main roster spot for some time now.
Yeah.
But this was taped last week.
Yeah.
So either we have all just been assuming that Sane's going up to the main roster and the reports that she's been going up to the main roster are wrong, mm-hmm. and it's just been speculation, or they knew she was going up to the main roster but still wrote her into a storyline that's going to be cut short.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, she is going to stick around in NXT at the same time and still do some stuff there with Shirai and build up some stuff to there while also then tagging with Asuka on the main roster. So I don't know. But like, I thought this was a really... It was such a good part of the story.
Mm.
As you say, because she caused the DQ to save her.
Yeah.
She didn't cause the DQ to be a knob.
Yeah,
she
exactly.
She caused it to help her because she was going to have her arm broken.
Yeah.
And afterwards, he had this amazing shot where Duke and Shafir then just like woman handled her and like forced her to watch as Baszler did the arm break spot, and she like was like crying. No!
It was great. It was
absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
But it can't go anywhere.
No, exactly. I don't
Or can it?
The only thing I can think of is that's the way to write Sane off of NXT with like
be fine
the arm
next
break.
Week.
Yeah, I know. The continuity doesn't match up at all, but I think in NXT's mind, that's a way to just be like, right, that's Sane done. She can miss some NXT shows because she's injured. We won't talk about SmackDown. Or you can say she can't manage an NXT schedule on top of her SmackDown obligations or whatever they want to say. So it's a way to just stop her being in storylines on NXT, and eventually they'll just kind of stop mentioning her and just she won't come back kind of thing. Or they could have it where they won't have Sane for a little bit. She'll just be on SmackDown. And then she could have like a surprise appearance at like Shirai's title match against Baszler, like a takeover or something.
Do you know what? I was just about to pitch you that idea of you build to Shirai versus Baszler, and then you have Io Shirai come out and then as the challenger, and you've got Baszler standing down there with Duke and Shafir, and then out comes Asuka and Io Shirai.
And Kairi Sane, you mean?
Sorry, yes, and yes, great, Kairi Sane.
Yeah.
As like the backup to go up against the Duke and Shafir. Uh-huh. And you have that
That'd
as a big
class.
Crowning moment. You keep it as a surprise for everyone. Mm-hmm. And you just have it as a wonderful little, a wonderful moment at the next takeover event that they do.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Or even,
still
even
ties that into main roster continuity. Then.
Absolutely, yeah. Even if they didn't have it as like a big entrance at the start, as if like maybe Duke and Shafir start interfering in the match and then Asuka and Sane come out as a surprise, just like run in and get rid of Duke and Shafir to allow Io to win, that would be class.
Yeah.
That would be great. I'd be well down for that.
So I'm optimistic about this. As I said before, like I've got faith in NXT.
Mm-hmm,
it's a brand. It's like trusting Gedo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you look and it's like, why did you do that, Gedo? But it always pays off. And you're like, oh, I see why you did that, Gedo. Yeah. So I'm kind of in that same mold with Triple H and NXT being like, I don't know why you've quite done this at the moment, but I trust that you're on the right path.
Yep.
And I just think that you are going to be making some smart choices here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perhaps that's a wrong way for me to look at it, but I have faith.
Haven't been let down yet.
No, I've not been let down. Absolutely. No.
Why not?
Andy Datsink, we have some super chats.
Let's
just go. So when I did that rubbish Australian accent for Tomo, I suggested that other people, if they want me to do an accent,
that's a
put terrible accents in brackets, and someone called B has just put terrible accents in brackets. So that's thank you for that, B.
Thank you.
Yose Pfskef says, how do you feel about Murphy versus Kofi at a lesser pay-per-view?
A lesser pay-per-view.
I'd like to see it at a major pay-per-view, but that's just me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess what you mean, like, when you say lesser pay-per-view, you mean like a B-level pay-per-view.
It's a B-show, yeah. Rather than a SummerSlam or a Rumble or a
And I think that's probably the best time to give Murphy that first shot.
Yeah.
And I would say I'm well into it.
Yeah, I'd absolutely love that.
A killer match.
Yeah, I mean, they
absolutely super
would.
Into it.
They're given enough time in the right story, they tear the house down.
That's a good point. As long as it's got the right a good story surrounding it as well, I'm well into it.
Yeah.
Chance for you to do a bit of a plug here, Luke. Jobber.jj496 says, May the 7th, where can I stay after Prince Charles Cinema is over?
So I'm assuming you're coming in from outside of London.
What for?
Yes, because we're doing... Thank you, Datsun. Wrestle Talk Live is happening on May 7th at the Prince Charles Cinema in London's fashionable Leicester Square, Bougie, where we're going to be holding a screening of the David Arquette classic, Ready to Rumble. The film that was produced in part by WCW in their dying days, their dying years, and it features all loads of WCW stars. It is a bad, bad movie.
It's terrible.
It's a very, very bad movie, but we're so excited to screen it, and we're going to be doing a live podcast afterwards where we're going to be showing clips and stuff from Arquette's wrestling career and kind of talking about its impact on the wrestling industry as a whole. So we're really, really excited for it. To answer your question of where to stay, there are so many hotels around Leicester Square. Like, it is littered with hotels. You could probably get fairly cheap as well, I mean, by London standards, of course. Because the Fright Fest, which is a horror film festival that I frequent every year, with the exception of last year because I was on my honeymoon.
Weddings?
Damn you, wife! I gotta see Fright Fest! And people come from all over the country and all over the world to go to Fright Fest, and it's a five-day event. So there's people are always staying in hotels and staying in places around there. Airbnb, check that out as well. There'll be plenty of places for you to stay afterwards. And particularly because we'll likely be going for drinks afterwards as well, like we did after the last screening. So we'll be going to probably the Phoenix Club or something like that, the Phoenix Wright Club, for a few drinks after the screening.
Awesome. Yes, sorry for anyone who's getting an echo. We might have to sort that out, but apparently they're getting an echo through my mic from you when you talk loudly.
No, it's just a glitch in the system. It happens intermittently.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for us to fix because there's no consistent pattern for why it happens. I've recorded on my own in this room with both other microphones turned off and it still creates an echo.
Right.
Yeah. So no, we've no
idea. It's just weird.
It's just weird. It only happens for 5 seconds.
It just doesn't make sense.
Some people suggesting, not Super Chat, but some people suggesting that maybe if Kyrie and Asuka win the women's tag belts very quickly, then that could give them a reason to put Kyrie back on NXT.
So absolutely not the worst idea.
Not a bad shout. Yeah.
Really, really not the worst idea. Especially if the gimmick is you're meant to be defending them across all three brands, and that just isn't happening at the moment.
Yeah. Yep, definitely not.
That's a great idea.
Tomo, who's the only person who's taken my accent thing seriously, has suggested one for this in Russian.
Here we go.
So,
God, no.
I feel like this is a terrible idea.
This is a shocking idea.
It's the only one.
I feel like this is a terrible... It was a terrible idea to begin with.
Yeah, it was.
I won't do it.
Good.
Since Buddy Murphy is on SmackDown, what do you think will have the... Who do you think will have the best matches with him?
I'd have to have a look. I've still got the list of WWE personnel up, thankfully.
Lovely.
So I can have
scroll
a look.
To SmackDown.
Who have we got here that can have some really good matches with them? Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, Balor, Kevin Owens, Karl Anderson, Kofi Kingston, Roman, Samoa Joe, Shelton Benjamin, Shinsuke Nakamura. There is so much talent in WWE. It's kind of ludicrous.
Ungodly amount of talent.
Yeah, it really is. And Chad Gable is a name I accidentally skipped over.
Yeah, I think if I had to pick one out of all of those, I think I'd go with Balor.
Yeah.
If they give him enough time and it's over like the IC belt and a solid-ish story, I don't think they even need like a top story. Yeah, it's going to be class.
It will be absolutely class. Yeah. I'll be honest, Buddy Murphy is so good. I could have said Ali is another one.
I could have said he was there.
Anyone on this list. Epico. He'll have a five-star match with Epico. He'll have a five-star match with, I'm going to pick another, Otis. Otis Dozovich. He's going to have a barn burner match with Otis Dozovich. He's that good.
Yeah, why not?
Gautam Kumar says, was the one who mentioned the audio. And what should Roman do for Money in the Bank? Pretty sure it's Elias, but...
It might not be Elias. He might be in the Money in the Bank match. Mm. Which would be the worst use of him, to be honest.
Yeah,
to put him into
I think that'd be really good. Yeah, to have him in the Money in the Bank match, yeah. Because it's always an exciting match. I think Roman could have some fun spots in there as well with his moveset that he's got.
Yeah. As Randall said, maybe you'll just be... He'll have a match with Elias that will be... Rest hold.
It'll go. Wait.
11 to 12 minutes, and it'll be rest holds and chin locks, and he'll put a knee in the back. Ooh. And then 90% of the way through, 10 minutes into this 11 minute match, and then we'll get the Superman punch, spear, and Roman wins.
Wins. Yes.
I think
he'd be quite good at climbing ladders slowly as well.
He'll
be so good at climbing ladders slowly. Yeah.
Vincent Slater has donated to ask, do you think Vince will change Buddy Murphy's name to just Buddy.
Funny enough, actually.
I was thinking that as well, yeah.
Yeah, we joked about this on the Saturday show because we obviously pre-recorded that and it's going to go out on Saturday. Yeah, we were saying it's either going to be Buddy or it's going to be Murphy. And we were trying to decide which name was worse.
Murphy Experience.
To be called to be either just called Murphy or Buddy.
They're both terrible.
And here's my thinking. When I hear Buddy, and Ollie said the same thing, I think of the elf.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I'm trying to think of a really cool badass wrestler, I'm thinking of a guy who likes hugs.
Yeah. You know, well, Bailey.
Well, yeah, but she's not a badass wrestler.
But she likes hugs.
She does like her hugs. You know, I don't want to think someone who's going to pick up the phone and say, what's your favorite color?
Yeah.
Similarly, when I hear Murphy, I think RoboCop. I think, Murphy, it's you. So maybe, and I would imagine...
RoboCop's probably, better.
I'd imagine in a fight, RoboCop would beat Buddy the Elf.
Possibly.
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, he's slower, but I still think he would win the fight. So, yeah, maybe Murphy is better
Murphy
than Buddy.
Murphy might be better. Hmm. There is a slight trend with the talent that's been given one name, though, is that they're all kind of foreign heels.
Apart from Ali.
Well, I say, okay, not foreign heels. In Vince's eyes... Foreign. Okay. There we go. So having two names and you're foreign,
something different
just doesn't
about
work.
You.
Yeah, just doesn't work. So even though Buddy Murphy is foreign because he's from Australia, he's not
like Tomo.
He still speaks very good English. So
Otis Dozovich.
Mm.
I suppose that's a foreign sounding name, though, isn't it?
It's a foreign sounding name.
Otis Dozovich.
I can see Vince be like, no, that doesn't make sense.
Ducky.
Otis.
Ducky, ducky, ducky.
Ducky.
More super chats, please.
Yes. Antonio Koo has donated 249 Filipino pesos. I don't know how much that is.
I have no idea, and I don't care.
I think that's a very generous donation.
Yes,
thank you so
much. I just saw 249 pop up. I was like, wow! who would you book for Murphy's main roster feud? Ali, maybe? Love Wrestle Talk. Keep up the consistency. Much love from the Philippines.
I love that Buddy Murphy is dominating the chats today.
Yeah,
that's
I love it.
Great. Finn Balor, you've sold me on that completely.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier, like, I've recorded so much today. I can't remember if I was talking to you about it or I was talking to Ollie about it.
Yeah.
I want to see Balor drop the belt. Sharpish seems like a harsh word, but sharpish.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather see him in that main. I want him to elevate up to main event level.
Okay.
I think he's too good to be stuck in mid-card matches.
Yeah, fair enough.
With the mid-card belt.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see him elevated up into the main event. And the perfect person to get that belt off him and really establish himself up on that main roster would be Buddy Murphy. So I'm going with Buddy Finn.
Yeah.
Murphy Finn.
the Murphy Experience of Finn. I think Murphy Finn definitely works. And I think it'll be a great feud. For his first one, they could do something like... forget the person that donated, that they said was Ali. Because they already have history on 205 Live when they were both there.
Mm-hmm.
And they put on absolutely classic matches when they were there. So they could build off that kind of history together and be like, hey, look, we're both on SmackDown now. We're both, I can say bigger and better, but you know what I mean. So they could play off that into just a first feud for Murphy, who could then maybe beat Ali, although that would... it's not great for Ali. He hasn't won much, but...
He's had a bad 2019, yeah. as all
and
Ali.
Then, yeah, and then he could maybe go up and then face Finn for the title after that. I wouldn't be opposed to either.
Is it true that Ali's not won a match this year, has he?
No, he lost again on last week.
He's lost everything, including his first name.
Mm.
He's had a bad year.
Mental.
Bad year for Ali.
Kevin says, what do you think of the few NXT stars who went to NXT UK, brackets like Casey Kilimanjaro? do you think some will come to NXT from NXT UK? Who? Hashtag done for champ.
I think that's a great... I mean, I'll be honest, I'm actually a bit surprised that Pete Dunne wasn't one of the main roster call-ups.
Yeah.
I really, really thought he might have been.
Meltzer wrote in the Observer that he thought that it was because they realise that they haven't really done much with NXT UK. Someone to push it.
It's almost as if it was just created for cynical reasons.
Who could say?
Yeah, some might say. So who from NXT UK would I like to see go across to NXT? I'm going to be a total heel here. I'm going to say Cassius Ohno is who I'd like to see go from NXT UK to NXT. I'd love to see Walter in NXT.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
That would
he'd have amazing takeover matches.
Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley's a great show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's going to be one of those people that just bypasses everything that just goes up to that main roster. Yeah. She's another one I'm surprised didn't go out, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Storm's another one.
Really good
talent in NXT UK. Zach Gibson, someone I'm going to get to bat for as well.
Oh, yeah.
Liverpool's number one.
Great show.
Ring Profits Wrestlecast says Shane Strickland versus ACH will be great. Hashtag it's coming.
Yeah, and it will be soon, yeah, because Shane Strickland was announced today's part of the Performance Center along with Kushida and Garza Jr.
Yes.
So, yeah, absolutely. That's what I mean. Like, we were saying that needs some sort of like main event kind of freshening up.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some new undercard that can be bubbling along with some of those new sidings. Excuse me. So, that's a great show.
Yeah.
And lastly, donated to say, why does everyone love Shayna Baszler so much? Her matches are always very clunky and her selling is pretty sloppy. That is from me.
From you?
Yeah, I don't like her.
Why don't you like her? I'm sorry for the silly reasons you just gave.
No, there weren't silly reasons. I think she's incredibly stiff in her, not in her move set, but in her selling. I don't know. I just really can't get on board with her.
I disagree so much, man.
You are very entitled to have your opinion. Just know that your opinion is wrong.
No, I mean, I would just disagree.
Yeah,
I think she's so...
I know lots of people really like her. I got that invested in her.
I strongly disagree with that. Just because I wasn't a fan of her initially. The first time I saw her wrestle, I was like... Don't know about this. Her first takeover match, I was like, nope, completely sold now. Yep, she's great. I think she's evolved so much over time because the first time I saw her wrestle, I was like, yeah, she is a bit green. She's a bit, she's not quite right there. But she's evolved so much now to the point where she is, I think, one of the best wrestlers they have in WWE. Full stop.
I like wrestlers when they feel real.
Yeah.
And she feels real. She's so crisp in the ring. I like the way that she locks in submissions. I like the way that she moves around the ring. I think she has got superstar presence about her as well.
She does. I think that's the main thing. She just has a presence about her, and every movement and move that she does fits into her character and builds upon that character.
Yeah.
It's great.
You don't even watch NXT normally, Pete. Meltzer said that as she's 38, 39, so he's wondering they're going to have to do it soon because she's not going to be...
But I think Meltzer is in that old school mindset of like... And it's, you know, there's certainly nothing wrong with being in this mindset, I suppose, to a degree. When you, like, back in the 90s, if you were 38, you were practically ready to retire because, like, you look at, like, the British Bulldog in 1999 was 38 and he could barely move and he couldn't walk and it was a sad sack of potatoes. But 38 now is so young. Balor's, like, 38 and he doesn't feel like he's nearing 40. Mm. Like, AJ Styles is in his 40s, right?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't feel like he is, though. So
exactly.
I get what Meltzer's saying, but I think that's an old school mindset.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even if she's only on the main roster for something like 3-4 years, that is plenty for her to establish herself as like a long-term name that people will remember, even if she only is there for 4 years, which is so much time.
The way she moves around the ring, you don't look at it as like, God, she's old.
Yeah, God, exactly.
You need to pull the trigger on her soon.
And then you look at someone like Minoru Suzuki, who just is always young and never ages. Sure.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that Baszler is 38.
Yeah.
I would have said she's probably, you know, like early 30s.
Yeah, I would have said late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
There was just another... He also suggested it was just because she doesn't look like a WWE
I think
like
that's probably
superstar.
More the reason. I think that's... Yeah, Vince has got a certain type that he likes. He likes women to look a certain way. And it's... And this is no secret either. This was... I can't remember who wrote about this in her book. And it's been talked about a lot, that Johnny Ace... has said to women in WWE in the past, and this has been a long-standing thing, if you get breast implants, you will go further in your career.
Yeah.
And that's one of... It's speculated it's one of the reasons why Peyton Royce got them done.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will get her further in her career. And...
Where's the proof of that?
Well, yeah, I mean, she's won the titles now, hasn't she? So it's... Vince is going to look at her and go, oh, you don't look like a bikini model.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with you then. And I genuinely wouldn't be surprised if that was one of the cases.
Which would suck.
It would suck. So this email comes in from Stu. It is a WrestleTalk Get Better. He says,
Disco Stu.
He says, Disco Stu does not advertise. This is to Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. Deliberate full stop. I'm sure he meant to include you as well.
Of course, yeah.
I emailed you recently with 80% facts on crisps. Still slightly gutted that someone fact-checked it. Now, someone tweeted me about the fact check. Right. Like, I didn't fact check it myself.
Yeah.
Apparently, someone had questioned Walkers about it as well, and they answered. So, hey, who knows?
That's the fact check, unfortunately. That's the fact check.
I'm sorry, yeah. I also said I'd write in with a WrestleTalk got better. Hopefully, this connected some inspiration for Ollie's marathon. Well, and for any of your pod swafters going through a hard time right now, it's a bit long, so feel free to edit if you read this out. Here we go. Well, I've not edited it.
Okay.
So here it is.
Cool.
Let's rewind to 2015 when I had, quote, a bad year. I was 35 and was hit with stage 4 bowel cancer, which spread to my liver, had a massive operation to remove half of my liver, and then 7 months of chemotherapy. It wasn't even a good cancer caused by heavy drinking and a life of excess, but just one of those random things that occur for no apparent reason. However, I was in the immediate aftermath of my operation however weak I was in the immediate aftermath of my operation is totally indescribable. The chemo was simply brutal. Incidentally, if you ever know someone dealing with cancer and want to know what treatment might be like for them, read this example piece about the mountain lion in your fridge. It's linked to that, which is a what Lauren did next.co.uk article. Needless to say, it was a pretty grim time, and I spent most of the year sat on my backside at home feeling ill and tired and looking for things to brighten up my day. There were some brighter moments even in that tough year, and flippant though it may sound, wrestling was one of those. I found getting properly back into wrestling hugely cathartic, and the shows and wrestling podcasts were a big boost that became part of my routine and something I look forward to each week. This is where I came across WrestleTalk and the squash in a previous guise, which is now part of my life. Fast forwarding, my chemo finished near the end of 2015. The subsequent scan showed no evidence of disease, which is their way of saying that you probably don't have cancer. I suppose that's a positivity. That's as positively as they can frame it. I'm now just over 4 years post-op and 3.5 years from finishing chemo, and the frequency of scans has fallen, which is a happy indication that my risk of reoccurrence has dropped. In that time since finishing chemo, I started taking up running. Local park runs are a great way to do this, and got married in 2016 and had a baby last year. How different my life is to how I felt in 2015. So there will be podswafters out there right now who, one way or the other, is going through a tough time. My WrestleTalk Get Better message to them is twofold. First, stick at it. If you ride out the tough times, things can improve in the future. If you can work and exercise a goal and a positive outlook too, then that's even better. Second, time spent doing these things you enjoy is better than time spent doing rubbish things, he says. A naughty word. I've self-edited your email there, Stu. I hope you don't mind. Not a hugely insightful revelation, but a simple statement worth remembering. Getting back into wrestling gave me something I enjoyed to focus on when things were tough, and I've stayed with it ever since. Even starting to go to local indie events, PCW is my local. My final message to you two, or three, or 3.5, thank you for what you do. I don't think enough people say thank you for the things that they appreciate, and after my 2015, I've started to try and do this much more. It's clear how much time and effort you put into this channel, and you should know how appreciated it is by so many. So anyway, thank you again. That's from Stu. Thank you so much, man.
That was lovely.
And what a huge congratulations to you as well. I'm so glad that everything is on the mend now. Cancer sucks.
Yeah.
I don't think that's any... That's not a hot take by any stretch of the imagination.
Not at all.
But yeah, well done to you, my friend. And congratulations on wife and baby as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right, well, let's have some 80% facts before we get out of here. This one comes in from Macca. It says, Dear Owen, Davis, Blake, Quinnell, and not Datsun, the rat son. Listening to Ollie talk about his marathon and saying that walking isn't exercise reminded me that something that one of my science teachers once told me. He said that you burn around 0.5 calories for every pound during each hour of sleep.
What? Mm.
He said that you burn about 0.5 of a calorie for every pound during each hour of sleep.
Right.
I don't know what it's is for walking, but I'm sure you lose more while walking. So walking is an exercise. I think he's saying for every pound that you have, you lose 0.5 a calorie. God, that sounds... I don't know, man.
But it's an 80% fact.
A science teacher did say it. He may have misremembered it. Perfect 80% fact. Mm-hmm. So yeah, apparently walking is exercise. Thank you for all the hard work, especially over Mania weekend. Keep up that sweet, sweet consistency.
Nice.
Bonus 80% fact that I don't think is true. Peeing on your feet in the shower makes them smell less.
I would have no idea of the logic of that, but... Sure.
Leave that one there.
Yeah.
Hey, man, if it helped jellyfish stings,
then why not?
Who knows other what medicinal power urine has? Urine-soaked intro and outro.
I do have to take umbrage with Ollie saying that walking is an exercise, though. Because
I like how you're doing this when he's not here.
Fun fact, I don't know if you know, I did actually used to be a personal trainer the day.
I did know that.
I was, when I was getting my qualifications and that, we were trained by a guy that is one of the best personal trainers in the game. He's trained people such as John Travolta, Brad Pitt, Keira Knightley, like these proper, like, Hollywood A-listers. He knows his stuff, basically. Mm. And he's saying he, once upon a time, he had a client that was a rather large woman, and she struggled just to move in the first place. So all he had her do originally, he just put two chairs in a room and said, stand up from that chair, walk to that one, and sit down. And during the course of it, she'd just start by doing that. Obviously, they progress the exercise later and later on. But just doing that, she was sweating buckets. That was horrible for her. Walking is exercise. Standing up and sitting down is exercise, depending on who you are. Like, it can be an exercise.
You hear that, Ollie? I mean, you never will, because you don't listen to these podcasts.
He won't listen to this, but I told him anyway.
We'll tell him that when we get back to the office as well. Yeah. Let's have another 80% fact. This is a golf-based one. Unfortunately, Randy's not here. Oh. He says, hello, Luke, Ollie, and only on Wednesdays, Randy Andy Datsun, because he was on the podcast once. Since Ollie is a big sports fan now... That's great.
Yeah.
I just wanted to offer on my 80% fact about golf.
Okay.
It is actually an acronym that stands for Gentlemen Only, Ladies Forbidden. You know, from when only Scottish men played. Cheers. I don't know though, because it is a sport that is well behind the times. Like, I used to work for a golf company. They provided golf holidays for golfers.
Yeah.
And going around to clubhouses, it is incredible. Bearing in mind, this is like 2013. There were still clubhouses that would not allow women in.
Oh, my God.
And there were courses that would not allow women to play on them because those were the rules that were instilled when it was open and they're not willing to change them.
That's disgusting.
It's incredible how behind the times that sport can be.
That's ridiculous.
I'm not saying that I buy into this 80% fact. But there is something to be said for it.
You would have thought that the name of the sport might have been brought up once or twice since its inception. And someone said, hey, this thing stands for something that we really don't want to do anymore. Let's change it. But then again, you said in recent times, even in like 2012, the women are being excluded. So who knows? Maybe they've just kept it and forgot what it stands for.
I'm just going to do a quick search.
Are you fact-checking?
No, I'm not fact-checking. No, I was just curious because you know how like the NBA has the WNBA? So it's like the Women's National Basketball Association. I was wondering if there was like a women's golf version of that.
Well, it'd be the PGA Tour.
That's it. And it's the Women's PGA. It's the Women's PGA. Is golf in that acronym a PGA? That's Professional Golf.
Professional Golf Association, one would assume.
So would that then be the Women's Professional Gentlemen Only Ladies
Forbidden Association?
That's what I was curious about.
Okay.
Good to know. Sure. Good to know.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that is all we've got time for on this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Ollie and I will be back for the Saturday show that we've already recorded. It's not a full Saturday show. We're not doing mailbags and crap gimmicks because of the bank holiday weekend and we're just a bit pushed for time. But enjoy it nonetheless. And we'll be back next week with more great podcast content for your ear holes. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.